If you want to open your Bibles and turn with me to the letter of the Colossians. We've been making our way through different parts of this letter in the last couple of weeks. And we're now going to look at Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. And in the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1234. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belonged to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not touch, do not taste. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the word of the Lord. Our enemies may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom. So said William Wallace, at least, in the movie Braveheart. And he spoke what was a central concern for people of all ages and of every time. Freedom. Freedom is what we long for. Freedom is what we seek. We know that freedom is not guaranteed for us, is it? Or for people out there. If you break the law, if you commit a crime, and you are arrested, and you are convicted, you lose your freedom. You go to prison, and you sit in a cell, and you are locked up, and you may not leave. you are stuck there. Your freedom is gone, and you are incarcerated. Some of us look forward to the day when we can get out of mom and dad's house, and we will be free, free at last. Maybe we'll find out when we're free that the bondage to our parents' house wasn't so bad after all, but maybe that's how we feel right now. Lots of great literature has freedom really at the core of it. When you think about the book Oliver Twist, about that boy who was living in the ghetto and got in with this gang of pickpockets and thieves. The book is really about Oliver Twist's freedom from poverty and freedom from the trap that was that way of life. Maybe you've read the Harry Potter books. And you know that really what Harry Potter was all about was about freedom from the evil that was represented and delivered by Voldemort. And I am not afraid to say his name. The Bible, as well, is a book that's really all about freedom. When you read the very beginning of the Bible, and very shortly it seemed after God created the world perfect, there was the fall into sin, and there was the condemnation that came from rejecting God, and that sin became chains that bound people and held them. We read on further in the Bible and we read about the children of Israel who were in Egypt. And they went there free, but in time became slaves, and they were bitter in their labor and their lack of ability to worship God and to receive and live in the land that He had prepared for them. And they cried out to God, "Lord, set us free." And God heard. And God set them free. And that freedom from oppression and that freedom from sin went on right through the Scripture to Christ. And we read about Christ and we learn about Him and we hear that He sets His people free. Not from Egyptians. He sets His people free from sin. In Christ, we are free. Free to experience the joy of salvation, the peace of reconciliation with God. If you want to be free, you need to know Him. However, there are spiritual forces in our world that would like to take away any joy that you have in experiencing freedom in Christ. There are those people and there are those philosophies that would like to remove any bit of joy that you have. And they whisper in our ears. Christ is not exactly who you say He is. They say to us, Christ didn't do exactly what your church says He did. It says Christ may be one way, but He's not the only way. It says Christ, He's good, but He's not enough. And those whispers are all around us, and we hear them. And we come to church, I think, in part to say, I want to know what to do with these whispers that are out there. But the whispers aren't only about Christ. They're also whispers against us, against the people of God. The whispers say, the church? They're not so good. Those Christians? They're kind of dumb. They're quite hypocritical, you know. They don't measure up. Those Christians, you know, that's not where you find truth. And among them, you don't learn anything good. You go to church, people whisper at you. Why would you waste your time on a beautiful Sunday morning being stuck in a place like this when you could be laying out on the grass, when you could be out on the golf course? How stupid are you? So people say that Christ is not enough. And people say the church is not enough. That we are not going to be okay. But here's the truth. The truth is that Christ is more than enough. Is he enough? Yes, he is more than enough. He is, it says in Scripture, he is the physical manifestation of the invisible God. He is the power, and he is the holiness, and he is the majesty of God revealed among us and given to us as a gift from above. He is, it is said, it is revealed. He is the forgiveness of sins. He is the forgiver. He is the one who takes away the sin of the world. He is the light. And in his light, we can see. And in his light, we have hope for all things. So Christ is more than enough. And when people say, he's not. When they say he's unworthy, when they say he's a fraud, when they say he's a charlatan, when they say that he's inadequate, remember that the Scripture says, and the Spirit convinces us of the truth, that he is more than enough, that he is the Son of God, the pure, unblemished Lamb who was sacrificed for us, and in his death we find life. That's the truth. But not only is Christ more than enough, there's a second part to that. And that is that we are going to be more than okay. We are the ones who know him. We know Christ. And as he was is the fullness of God, as he is revealed to have all the benefits, all the power, all the mercy of God himself among us, then having him in our lives means that we are full and that we are people who can stand before God. It said that we are made in the image of God. Men, women, children, old people, we are all in the image of God. And when we know Christ, when we are people who stand in a relationship with God through the mediation of Christ, then we stand before him and he says, that is what you're supposed to be like. That is a person that is in harmony with me, that is revealing my original plan. Because what God wanted for people was that they be healthy and that they be happy and that they know God and are in a relationship with him. And that is what a person is supposed to be like. And Christians who have the Holy Spirit, who accept Christ as Lord, are people who we believe the Scripture says and the confessions teach, and we believe that when we are in a relationship with Christ, we are reconciled with God. And we are presented to God we're found acceptable, we are loved, and we are not dead in our sins. We are not defined by any brokenness that clings to us. We are defined by the mercy and the perfection and the goodness of Jesus. Say, are you worthy? Well, when Jesus is standing beside me, I'm worthy. Are you okay? Well, I'm more than okay because Jesus is with me and He goes with me to the throne. And when the Father looks at me, He sees the aura of Christ surrounding me and He says, yes, that is a person who I accept. That's a person that I love. That's a person who is more than okay for me. And so we have hope, and we have future, and we have peace. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this letter to the Colossians, he warned us that even though Christ is more than enough, and even though we are going to be more than okay, that there are false teachers who are going to do everything they can to take away our joy and to erode our peace. And what the disciples, or what the apostle says, is that they will try to judge us. They will judge us with little legalisms, with these minor nitpicky things that they will use to make it seem like they're huge things. You people, I heard that after you mow the lawn on a Sunday afternoon, you sit on a chair and you drink a beer. What is that? Call those people Christians. They say they know God. These people, you know what they do? They wear shorts to church. Oh. Who do these people think they are? They say they're Christians, and look at how they come. Oh, man, I would have nothing to do with them. They play cards. They go to movies. Some of them eat pork. They go to churches that only meet once per Sunday. What is with that? You know, all these rules, they are shadows, the Scripture says. They're not substance. They're not what it's all about. And those that would want to point to those kind of rules and those kind of judgments and cast judgment on you, say, well, I'm going to talk about Christ. I'm going to talk about the one who is my Savior. I'm going to talk about faith. I'm going to talk about my dreams that I have as a gift from the Spirit for the blessing of those around me and for my growth as a believer. That's what I'm going to talk about. If you want to talk about these little nitpicky things, well, go ahead. But you will not take away my joy. You will not take away my peace. You will not take away the assurance that I have that my God loves me and that He is with me. You're not going to convince me that I am not good enough because of that. I am good enough because Christ is more than enough for me. The apostle says that those who try to distract us and try to take away our freedom are deluded. They just don't get it. They think they're seeing right. They honestly think that their little rules are what it's all about. But they're masked. They just can't see what it is really all about. They've missed the point. And don't let their mistake make you as bound as they are. What they say can sound so pious, so religious, so spiritual. Oh, you know, he says that, and well, it must be true. I mean, she's a person, you know, that's been around. You know, don't buy it. Don't buy that the rules are what the gospel is. It is about a relationship. Now, Paul goes on to say, and he says it so strongly, so that these people are those that have lost touch with their own heads. Now, it's hard to think of an image that is more dismissive of their agenda. That they're not mindless, but they're just so not getting it. They just so don't understand what the gospel actually is. That is, it's like they're the headless horseman or something. So don't let people tell you that you are unworthy, because Christ is the one who gives you your worth and gives you His own worth as a gift of love and grace. So the question for us about freedom and about faith and about certainty is, what do you want? Do you want to be wise? Can you put the next slide up? Do you want to be wise? And to be wise means to know Christ, to understand His gift to you, to live in joy and peace, and in spiritual freedom. If we're not wise, then we are fools. And a fool, spiritually, is someone who is trapped by inconsequentials and remains in bondage to rules and doesn't understand the gospel of freedom. Brothers and sisters, we have been set free. Free to live in joy. Free to live in grateful obedience. Free to live lives that honor God. Free to enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. And when we demonstrate holiness, and when we live lives that follow God's will for our lives, which is holiness, which is love for God, which is love for our neighbors, then we do that not for our own salvation. We don't behave, we don't do good things so that we will be saved. We do all these good things so that Christ receives the glory, so that people will see His people and say, look at how they love each other. Look at how they live. Look at how they show their peace with God. And God is glorified, for He is worthy. He is enough. Christ is more than enough. And we are going to be okay forever and ever. Amen.